Amen. Praise the Lord. If you have your Bible this morning, I'd like to read from the Gospel of Luke. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 5, and a well-known portion of Scripture, perhaps. Thank the Lord for a sense of His presence already this morning. And I've actually tried to speak from this portion of Scripture before, but I want to take a slightly a different approach on it this morning if I can. And it's the story about the man who they brought to the Lord and let him down through the roof, the one that was sick with a palsy. And if we could just read from verse 17, Luke's Gospel, chapter 5, and verse 17. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed, a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in, to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling on his couch, with his couch, into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee.
Amen.
And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, Why reason ye in your hearts? Whether it is easy to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins, he saith unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise and take up thy couch and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before them and took up that whereon he lay and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed. And they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, We have seen strange things today. We'll ask the Lord to bless his word. Our Father, again, we come this boldly into your presence. We thank you for a sense of your presence here in this room already, Lord. And we thank you for the prayers that has been offered, Lord, and for what we've been singing. And Lord, we just ask that you'll close us in with thyself in a greater way.
Amen.
And Lord, we just pray that as already has been prayed, we'll know that you're here, that we'll have a sense of your presence, Lord. We ask, Lord, that you'll move mightily upon us by your Holy Spirit, and even as we have been singing, you'll speak to us in the name of Jesus. And Lord, let it be to your glory and to your honor. We say, not unto us, Lord, not unto us, but unto thy great name, be all the honor and be all the glory and all the praise. And Lord, we know that the great is our need, but we thank you, Lord, that you're greater than all of our needs this morning.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, we commit this service to you, and we ask, Lord, for perfect liberty.
Yes.
We take authority over principalities and powers, Lord.
Amen.
We come against spiritual wickedness in high places, and we speak deliverance this morning in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
For your honor and glory. Amen. You may have your seats. Praise the Lord. I want to speak this morning, if I can, about the power of God. The power of God. You know, there's no substitute for the power of God. And, you know, we read here, and we read the verse 17. We read the latter part of the verse, and it says that the power of the Lord was present to heal them.
Amen.
The power of the Lord was present to heal them. Now this is the story of the man who was sick of the palsy, and we know that he was taken or he was born of four men who brought him to Jesus. And we might look at that a little, how these four men brought him to Jesus. But we're told in Mark's Gospel, you know, there's an account in Mark's Gospel of this event, and there's an account in Matthew's Gospel, and there's an account in Luke's Gospel of this event, how that these men brought the one who was sick of the palsy, and they brought him to Jesus. And I want to say, Mark said it was noised that he was in the house.
Amen. Yes.
Oh boy.
Right.
You see, whenever God's in a place, people know.
Right.
When the power of God's in a room, people will know. You might have to advertise a little, but when God's moving, when the power of God's in a place, people will get to hear about it.
Amen. Right.
They'll get to know about it. They'll get to know there's something there.
Right.
They'll get to know there's something that's real.
Right.
You know, you read it in Mark's Gospel, it's chapter 2, and it says it was noised that he was in the house.
Amen. Right.
And he came back to his own country. It says he came down to Capernaum, and he had a house there. Jesus lived in Capernaum, and he had a house there, and I believe it was by the seaside. But when he came to his own house, the word soon got out that Jesus was at home.
Amen.
I want to tell you, when he's in the house, the devil knows that. God's people know it. When he's in the house, you see, when he's inside you, and when he's inside me, all the people are going to know that he's there.
All right.
Why? There's a presence with him.
Amen.
Now, I'm not trying to preach the doctrine of presence. Presence, presence. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about Jesus.
Amen.
Where he is, there's a presence.
All right. Amen.
Where the Lord is, there's a presence.
Amen.
And let me say this, if I don't say anything else. Where the presence of the Lord is, the power of the Lord is. No presence, no power. No power, no presence. You can't talk to me about the presence and not have the power. If you're talking about the presence and you never experience the power, there's something wrong. You have to have the power and the presence.
Amen.
Right.
You know, when Luke wrote this here record, he said about the people, and there's doctors, there's Pharisees of the law, there's Pharisees was there, and the doctors of the law were sitting by, which came out of every town of Galilee. They came out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And know what it says? It says, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them.
Amen.
It doesn't matter where you're from.
Amen.
It doesn't matter who you are.
Amen.
The power of the Lord is available to heal you and to set you free.
Amen. Amen. Lord.
Hallelujah.
Power of God was in the room.
Amen.
The power of God was in the room.
Amen.
You know, I believe in the anointing.
Glory.
Don't tell me you don't need the anointing. You need the anointing.
Amen.
Jesus Christ was anointed.
Right.
The Bible says how that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the power of the Holy Spirit, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil.
Amen.
All
right.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
It's the power of God. It's the power of God. It's the power of God. The presence of God, the power of God. See, it was noise that he was in the house.
Yeah.
Why? Whenever he's in the house and it's nice that he's there, there's a multitude. There's always a multitude. There's always a crowd. Now, I know we're two or three of gathered. There's maybe not a crowd here this morning, but we're two or three are gathered together in his name. He has promised.
Yes.
He has promised to be in our midst.
Amen.
That's
great.
He has promised to be here.
That's great.
Now, these men knew where Jesus was. He was in the house. They knew the location. They knew where to take this man to get him to Jesus. They knew the location, they knew the spot. They may not have made a direction, they knew the house that Jesus lived in. And they started to make their way to get this man there. And you know, maybe he couldn't over it. We might come back to the power of the Lord later. But they wanted to get this man to Jesus. You know, that's the goal that we need to have for all of us. To get them to Jesus. Now, some people have a goal to get them to something else. That's not what you're called for.
Amen.
You're not called to bring somebody to someone else. You're called to bring people to Christ. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's the commission. There's not another one. There was only one commission. There's not two. There's not a new gospel.
That's great.
There's only one gospel.
Amen.
When Jesus said it at the start, and when Paul preached it, he didn't have to change it.
No.
Still the same. Same gospel. Well, anyway, these men had the right attitude. They wanted to bring this man to Jesus. And they have taken steps already to get him to Jesus, and they're going to the house. And you know, when they come to the house, it's not just a matter of coming to the house, but the way is blocked. The way is blocked when they come to the house. There's no through road. And you know, verse 18, I'm going to read a couple of verses here. Verse 18 and 19, and behold, men brought in a bed, a man which was taken with a palsy. And they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in, because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop.
Amen.
And let him down through the tiling of his couch into the midst before Jesus. But where was the blockage? The multitude. The multitude around the door. You know what I think about this here, and I've written it down. There was no one to say, give way to these men. Would they not have seen these men coming with this man on the bed? You would think somebody would have said, move and let this man through. There was a multitude in the way. You know, God help us not to be in the way.
Amen.
God help us to be on the way.
Right.
Now, there was a multitude at that service. But there was a multitude of people that was blocking a man from getting through to Jesus. You see, the way there was an obstacle. There was an obstacle in the way. They knew where the Lord was. He was in the house, and they came to the house. But when they come to the house, they can't get into the house. Why can they not get in? There's a multitude at the meeting. They all say I'm following the Lord. But they're blocking this man.
Right.
There's nobody who wants to give their space. There's nobody who wants to give a little room for somebody else to come through.
Amen.
You know, the Lord help us never to block somebody else that's desperate. God help us not to be in the right, in the way. God help us to get out of the way if we're in the way.
Right.
You see, these four men that brought this man, they could have said, it's no use. They could have said, it's not worth our while. There's a multitude round the door, and there's an obstacle there. We're not going to make it. How are we going to get through the crowd? You see, they didn't turn back much. You know, the enemy wants you to turn back. He wants you sometimes to look at the situation, look at the circumstances and say, there's no way we're going to do it. This is going to happen. Doesn't look like this is going to happen. It's not good. There's a blockage. There was an obstruction.
Yes,
sir. Roadblock. You know, one of the greatest signs that the devil likes to put up, no through road. Did you ever see that sign on the road?
Yes.
And then there's another sign that the devil likes. Know what it says? Cul-de-sac.
Right.
No way out.
Yes.
If you go in there, you have to come, you'll have to turn back.
Yes.
The devil uses them signs in your life and in my life. He flashes them up before you. No through road.
That's right.
Cul-de-sac. No way out.
Right.
You'll have to turn. You'll have to go back. You know, these men could have saw them signs that day, but they weren't going to turn back.
Amen.
No, they weren't going to obey the sign that said no through road. They might have seen the cul-de-sac sign, no way out of here. But they've got something. These men have got something. First of all, they've got a little hunger on them for to get to Jesus. And then they had a little persistence. Hallelujah. They had a little perseverance. And one looked at the other one and said, we're not bit yet. One looked at the other one and said, I never was bit yet, only when I wasn't there. Hallelujah.
That's great.
Says, I'm not going to get into reverse. I'm going forward.
Glory.
I'm going to persevere. You see, perseverance and determination and a little faith will bring a miracle into your life.
Amen. That's great.
Perseverance.
Amen.
Determination and a little faith will bring a miracle into your life. See, they said it's not over yet.
Amen.
They said there's a multitude in the way, but that's not going to stop me.
Amen.
There's a multitude. They're all around the Lord. Maybe some of them is expecting something, and maybe some of them is expecting nothing. Maybe some of them is like the Pharisees and said, this man's speaking blasphemies.
Right.
But other ones are probably saying, I listen to him and whatever he says happens.
Amen.
I listen to what he says and whatever he says happens.
Amen.
Whatever he says takes place.
Amen.
He's still the same today. Whatever he says can happen. Whatever he says can take place, you see. See, oh boy, these men says that, one man says, let's get him on the roof. Let's get him up on the roof. There's not too many people up there. Oh boy, there's a place. Now I'm not trying to say you have to get somewhere, but listen, there's a place and there's not many people on it.
That's right.
And you can get to Jesus real humbly.
That's right.
You can get to him real handy, for he's available. Oh, hallelujah. There was people standing there in the crowd, but they never got to touch him. They never got close. They were there. They were in the vicinity, but God doesn't want you to be in the vicinity. He wants you to touch him. He wants you to get right close to him. He wants you to get really near to him. And he wants to get near to you. What does the Bible say? It says, call upon him while he is near. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found.
Amen.
See, wants you to get close to them. So these men get on the roof and they start to break the roof up or take the tiles off the roof or the coverings on the roof, and they let the man down, and he's in the midst before Jesus. And you know, there's one of the greatest keys there, and it's a key that we all have, and it's the faith key. The faith key. Now this man was let down before the Lord. You're not told that he asked the Lord anything. He didn't. He was let down before the Lord. You're not told in the scripture that he asked for anything. He didn't say, Lord, will you get me out of this bed? Lord, will you forgive me? He didn't ask nothing. They just got him to the presence of the Lord. They just got him to where that presence was. They just got him to where that power was. And they bypassed the multitude. They bypassed the multitude. They bypassed the multitude. They just went directly. They came through the ceiling. They came off the roof. They bypassed. They didn't use the natural door. The door was the way. That's the sense. Well, you'd use the door, wouldn't you? Well, if you can't get through the door, don't be put off.
Amen.
Keep going on.
Amen.
Keep pressing on.
Amen.
Keep pressing the battle to the gate.
Amen.
Keep going forward. Don't turn back. Don't ignore the sign says no through road. You can't get. You couldn't imagine somebody standing and they see these men and they're climbing up the wall or they're going making a ramp to get on the roof. And somebody said, you can't get in that way.
Yeah,
you can't get in that way. I don't know what's taking you up there. You're not going to get in that way. Oh, Mr. Devil, you can get in through the door. Sometimes, whenever the hunger's on you, you do desperate things. Sometimes, whenever you're really hungry, you'll start to cry out. You'll start to call. You'll start, if you can't get one way, you're going to try another way.
All right.
Tell you. What happened? The Bible says when Jesus saw their faith, when Jesus saw their determination, when Jesus saw their perseverance, when Jesus saw that they had ignored the sign that said no through Rome, when Jesus saw that they had ignored the sign that said cul-de-sac, when he saw their faith, he said, man, one gospel render says, son, thy sins are forgiven thee. Right then that man passed from death unto life.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Right then God forgave him. Right then he had passed from death unto life. He received eternal life. His sins was forgiven him. Right then.
Amen.
The man never spoke. That I know of. The Bible doesn't say he spoke. When Jesus saw their faith, what did they do? All they had done was bring him to the Lord. They got him into that presence. Now Luke says the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Not just to heal one. No. Heal them. By his stripes ye were healed. You see, the power of the Lord, they knew if they could get, these men knew and believed if they could get him, if they could just get him there, if they could just get him to the Lord would do the rest. You see, the men didn't do it. All they had done was act on faith. And they didn't do the forgiving. No man, them Pharisees was right what they said. No man can forgive sins but God alone.
Right.
That was the truth.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
See, no man can forgive sins but God alone.
Amen.
This was Emmanuel.
Glory. Amen.
This was God's only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He had many sons, but he only had one begotten Son.
Amen.
Full of grace and truth.
Amen.
Hallelujah!
Great.
He's the only begotten. He's the everlasting Father.
Yes.
He's Emmanuel, God with us.
Praise
the Lord. And they got him right there. They brought him to the presence of the Lord.
Yeah.
And you see, verse 20 says, and when he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But Jesus perceived their thoughts. He answering said unto them, Why reason ye in your hearts? Whether it is easy to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins, he said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy couch and go into thy house.
Yeah.
And immediately he rose up before them and took up that whereon he lay and departed to his own house, glorifying God.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. You know what Jesus was saying there? He says it's a bigger thing to forgive sins than it is to heal. So it is. It's a harder thing to say thy sins be forgiven thee than to rise and to say rise up, take up thy bed and walk.
Yeah.
And you know, Jesus forgave the man's sins.
Yes.
He forgave his sins. That man went out of that house justified. He went out of that house, I believe, with every sin that ever he had done in his life was gone.
Amen. Yes.
He was free.
Amen.
He had just received eternal life.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And the Lord was letting these men know that. He was letting them know it's a harder one to say thy sins be forgiven thee than to say rise up and walk.
Right.
But he said to them, I'll give you a wee demonstration, boys.
Yes.
And then he looks at the man and he says, take up thy bed and go into thy house.
Yes.
The Bible says immediately.
Amen.
Immediately he took up his
bed.
Right.
Yes.
And walked.
Glory.
You know, they couldn't let him in. They made room to let him out.
Yes. That's right.
The same multitude that stood in the way,
yes,
had to give way.
Amen.
The same multitude that stood in the way had to give way after God gave a manifestation of his power.
Glory.
That multitude had to just move out of the way.
Yeah.
Out of the way. You see?
Amen.
You see the way when the power of God came, and I say the power of God came, well, Luke says the power of God was present to him. Let me say this about the power of God. When the power of God is in a man or in a woman, there's going to be a manifestation of that power. There has to be. There has to be a manifestation of that power. Now listen, Tommy said it at Wesley 90, he said, when you got saved, you got power to become the sons of God. Now there's a power there that's keeping you. There's a power that's keeping you. There's a power that makes you want to pray. There's a power that makes you say, I believe God.
Amen.
That's the power of God in you, brother. That's the power of God in you, sister. And listen, there's a power that gives us fellowship through the blood. And John writes that, and I'm not going to turn to it for time's sake this morning, but John writes it in the first epistle of John in chapter 1, and he says, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now there's a power there, and he goes on to say, if we walk in the light as he is in the light,
amen,
we have fellowship one with another,
yeah,
and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us.
Amen.
From all sin. So there's a cleansing. There's a power. There's a blood power. There's a cleansing from the blood upon you when you fellowship with your brother and when you walk in the light of God's word.
Amen.
You see that power. And that power is manifested in you today because you don't do what you used to do. You maybe don't go where you used to go, or you don't talk like you used to talk, or you act like you used to act, because of that power.
Amen.
That power is available.
Glory.
Now, what was the power that forgave the man's sins? It was the power of God. It was Christ. It was the anointing. It was the Holy Ghost. It was the blood. It was the blood of Christ.
Glory.
And John writes and he said that God is light and in him there's no darkness at all.
Great, that's it.
Said the light shined in the darkness and the darkness comprehended it not. And John said that grace and truth came, the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by the Lord Jesus Christ. And we beheld his glory as of the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
Amen.
Now, I want you to see this morning this power. I said that there's no such thing, I don't believe there's any such thing as the presence without the power. And I don't believe there's any such thing as the power without the presence. I believe the two go together, they go hand in hand. And I want to say they're available. Now, I want to say also that, as I have maybe just mentioned briefly and quickly, these men brought this man who was sick of the palsy to Jesus. And Luke said that the power of the Lord was present to heal. Now, when they brought him to Jesus, their expectation was full. Full. Now, what I mean when I say full, they were expecting to see a miracle. They were expecting God to do something. Now, Jesus is there and he saw their faith, and when he saw their faith, he goes into action. Now, that's the key. That's the key. Faith's the key. Now you can have determination and you need that. You can have perseverance and you need that. But also you need faith with it.
Amen.
That it's worth your while.
Right.
You know, these men could have said, it's not worth our while, we're torn with my ticket, I'm home. You know, could you imagine one of them boys in the crowd and he was writing a song? And he was writing that out song, you're going out the same way you came in.
That's right.
Why, he would have got a surprise, wouldn't he? He wouldn't have told that. He wouldn't have preached that sermon to that man that was on the bed, would he?
No. Amen.
Wouldn't have worked for him, you see, because he didn't go out the same way as he came in. He was carried in, he walked out.
Amen.
Amen.
You know what's wrong with us today? We walk in, we're carried out. God doesn't want you to be carried out. He wants you to walk out.
Amen. That's right.
Oh, I'm not trying to be smart. I'm not trying to be a brain box. I'm not a brain box. I'm not any of them things. But I'm only trying to build your faith that you'll have the manifestation of the power of God come in the room and come right to you where you are. Right, and touch you and answer you and let you know without a shadow of a doubt that you have met with God. You see that man, could you meet that man and he's coming out of there and he's carrying his bed and he's walking next to his own house? Could you meet him and tell him that this Jesus is a fake? Could you meet him and tell him that this anointing is not for today? Could you meet him and tell him that the gifts are on the shelf?
No.
Could you do that? Could you meet him and tell him that mercy's over?
No way.
He's just been washed in the blood.
Yeah,
he's just got his sin forgiven.
Amen.
Could you meet him and tell him that that was then, this Can you meet him and tell him that Jesus is not doing anything until he sees the outcome of Brexit? You know what it said in the farming life yesterday? It says the UK steps back from the precipice. Never step back from it. They're running headlong next to it. They need to repent. That's the precipice they need to step back from. They need to repent and ask God to save them. I tell you, talking stupid talk about the Vatican and about Mommy Rome. You know the men that died in two world wars will rise up in the judgment and condemn them. They will. They'll rise up and condemn them for their foolish talk.
Yes.
And they'll run to get the mark of the beast when it comes out. They'll knock you down to get it. Tell you. You know, the newspaper men maybe met this man and they said, oh, but that boy could have walked before. You see, they said that Lazarus wasn't really dead. And then somebody said, well, I tell you what, we'll kill him. You see, they want to undo what God can do.
That's right.
I want to tell you there's not a devil in hell that can undo anything that Jesus does. When God does it, it's done. Oh, you can depend on him. He's reliable. You see, I can hear one of these men, they're talking among themselves. Imagine they're talking among themselves and they see them climbing, they see them making a ramp, they see them getting a ladder. I don't know how they've done it. Maybe got a rope, got ropes or got slings, got that man lifted, got on the roof, got him lifted up, got him pulled up there. It was a bit of work, it was a bit of effort needed. But they were determined to get through there. They were determined to do it. They said, I'm doing this.
That's right. Glory.
But they knew. They knew that this man, Jesus, had the power to say, your sins is forgiven. Maybe they didn't know that, but they knew that he had the power to say to the man, get up and walk. Pick up thy bed and go into thy house. The Bible says, immediately. And immediately he arose. You know, verse 25 says, and immediately he rose up before them and took up that whereon he lay and departed to his own house, glorifying God. The power of God will glorify God. The power of God will not glorify a man. The power of God will only glorify Jesus the man. But the power of God will glorify God. To God be the glory of great things he has done. So loved he the world that he gave us his son. Who yielded his life on atonement for sin. And opened the life gate. That all may go in. You see, this man got up immediately. You see, there was a demonstration. There was a demonstration of the power of God. There was a demonstration right there. Where Jesus is, where the power of God is, where the presence of God is, there can be a demonstration of that power. I tell you, we can have it. We can have it. Seek it with all your heart. Believe God with all your heart. Ask God for it. Expect it. You see, he said to the men, he said to the Pharisees, and he said to the doctors of the law. Now, them boys was good. They were good in school. Now, it's nice to be good in school. They knew a lot of stuff. And they knew that nobody could forgive sins, only God. They knew that. But they didn't know that maybe when Jesus said to the man, rise up and walk, that the power of God would hit him. That power would hit him, would go through him, and he would get up and walk. And he would take his bed and go into his house. And he glorified God. Now listen, there's something else. There's something else about this power of God and this presence of God has had an effect on them. Verse 20, 26, we read these words. And they were all amazed. They were all amazed. What does that mean to be amazed? Got a surprise. Got a bit of a shock. You see, when the power of God comes into the room, expect a bit of a shock. Expect a surprise. Expect the supernatural.
Amen.
Expect something more than the normal. They were all amazed. You know, they were all amazed. And they weren't only amazed, they glorified God. They started to glorify God that had given such power unto men. Now Jesus was a man. The Bible says he was son of man, he was son of God. But he was also son of man. He was just a man. Elijah was a man like you and me, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Much. So they were all amazed. They were surprised. And then they start to glorify God. And they're filled with fear. Now that fear is not from the devil. You see, there's two types of fear. There's a fear that comes from the enemy, and that brings torment. And that is to destroy you. But there's a fear that comes from God.
Amen.
And that fear will set you free.
All right.
That's the fear that when God says do it, you want to do it.
Amen.
That's the fear that when God says don't do it, you don't want to do it. That's the fear when God says listen, you want to listen. That's the fear when God says speak, you want to speak. That's the fear when God says keep quiet, you want to keep quiet.
Right.
That's the fear that makes you want to do what God wants. Not what you want, not what I want. What he wants.
Amen.
That's the fear. And that fear, they were filled with it. You see, they knew then Jesus wasn't just a carpenter's son.
Right.
Said there's more to this. And you know what else they said? The latter part of verse 26. We have seen strange things today. Oh boy. You see, when the power of God and the presence of God comes in a room, expect to see strange things.
Amen.
What does it mean to see strange things? It's not normal. Hallelujah. It's not the normal when you see strange things. You see, do you know, sometimes we can go to church and there's nothing wrong with going to church. I would that you will all go come to church. But the devil's happy if we come to church week in and week out, day in and day out, and never see nothing strange.
That's right.
That's an old saying. You know, you used to hear it more so years ago among the old people. You know, with two old boys or two women perhaps would have met on the street and they said, anything strange. Anything strange. But you know, people are nosy. And that's why they said that. Could you imagine couple of old boys standing on the corner and this boy's coming past carrying his bed and one says to the other one, anything strange today, Paddy? This is St. Paddy's Day, St. Patrick. Paddy, anything strange today? No, not only to see that man there, and I've never seen him walking before. I've let him look, he's carrying a bed. I've never seen him lifting anything in my life. And he's not only walking, but he's carrying a bed. That's a strange one. God wants to give you something strange. God wants to come in the room with his power so that you will see something that's strange. You're going to see something that's not the usual. When the power of God comes in the room, you're going to see something that's strange.
Glory.
God help us to have faith for to see the strange things. See, they went home.
Amen.
You know what else one of the Gospels says? It says, we never saw it in this fashion before.
Amen.
We never saw it in this fashion before.
Yes.
Went to church for years, never knew that. Went to church for years, and the power of God never was. was in the room. I tell you, where is this power today? It's in this room.
Amen.
It's in you, brother. It's in you, sister. We have the power in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
What did Jesus say? He says, behold, I give you power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you.
Amen.
He said, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. He said, if you drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt you. He said, you'll pick up serpents. And he said, that you'll speak with new tongues.
Glory. Yeah.
You know why the devil doesn't want anybody to speak with tongues? Because it's a supernatural advance.
Yeah, yeah.
You're out of control and you're yielded to him. He takes over your voice. He takes over your thoughts. It's not intellect. It's only it's God. It's the Holy Spirit. What did Paul say? He said, I'll pray with the understanding and I'll pray with the Spirit also. He said, I'll sing with the understanding and I'll sing with the Spirit also. The devil never wants you to speak with tongues. He wants to put tongues down. Why does he want to do that? Because they're strange.
That's right. Yes. Amen.
They're strange. Never wants you to prophesy. Never wants you to have an interpretation. Never wants you to have a gift of discerning of spirits. Because he knew then that you know him every time you meet him.
Glory.
He knew then that you know every time you hear one word of false doctrine. If you've got discerning of spirits, you can tell within 2 seconds who's right and who's wrong, or what's right and what's wrong. You'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And not only make you free, it'll keep you free.
Yes. Right.
That's the power of God. Oh, I have to come to the close. The man never had to ask anything. He just got him to where the Lord was.
Yeah.
Now, brothers and sisters, I know we're depending on God. I know we're waiting on God. And I know you have faith. I'm not speaking these things to you this morning because you haven't got faith. I'm speaking these things to you this morning because you have faith. Faith's the key.
Amen.
But have the determination. Have the perseverance. But faith's the key. Faith's the key that unlocks the power. Faith's the key that'll bring the presence of the Lord and the power of God into the situation.
That's right.
We're depending on that.
Amen.
We're depending on it. You know, we can't do it. But you know, these men that brought that man, they didn't do it.
That's right.
They didn't do it. They couldn't heal him. Why, if they could have healed him, why would they bring him?
Amen.
If they could forgive his sins, he wouldn't need the Lord. But we do need him.
Amen.
And we're depending on him.
Amen.
You know, it's just gone 1:30, and I trust the Lord has spoke to me.
Amen.
Oh, I want you to hunger for this power. I know you are hungry, and I want to keep on hungering. Because there's more of it.
Sweet.
What kind of a power raised the man out of the chair, out of the bed?
Amen.
The same kind that said your sins is forgiven.
Amen.
Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost enabled the man to get up.
Right.
The Holy Spirit. He gets up and walks out. I tell you, that's the power of God being made manifest. You know, I'm coming to a close. But you know, recently I can't stop thinking about Jonah. Jonah. And I'm going to turn back to Jonah. I'm going to read you Jonah chapter 2. Maybe Jeff will get it on the overhead. I'm slow at finding Jonah. I always seem to struggle to find it. I didn't mark it in my Bible. I know it's close to Obadiah, but hey, if you don't know where Obadiah is, what's
Donald,
the use?
Donald, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah.
I found him. Thanks, Gary. I found him. Jonah chapter 1, I want to read from verse 15. Because this is an amazing story. Every story in this book is amazing. But this is an amazing story. Jonah's in the ship, he paid the fire, didn't he? He paid the fire to go the opposite from what God told him. And he had to pay a price. Right away, if you go against God's leading, you'll have to pay a price. Now, I'm not here to say you've went against it. No, I'm not saying that, but I'm only pointing out the fact there was a price to be paid because he went the opposite road. And he paid the fire and he got on the ship, and then the sea starts going contrary and the winds and the waves, and the storm gets up and they're going to perish. And Jonah's asleep, is he, on the boat, but they get him up, and then after a while they find out, well, you're the cause, boy, and you're going over the side. And he says, throw me over. You see? And they throw him over the side, and verse 15 says, so they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. You see? Right away. They threw him overboard, and right away the sea says, that's all right. Calm down. You see? And says in verse 16, then the men feared the Lord exceedingly. Now they feared the Lord exceedingly because as soon as they threw him over, they saw a manifestation. The winds and the waves ceased immediately. They saw a manifestation, and then they feared the Lord. You know, when they threw him over, they didn't really fear the Lord, but after they saw what happened, they started to fear then. Now this is the same godly fear that'll do you good. And what do? They start to make sacrifices unto the Lord. And offer the sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. Say, Lord, I'm going to do that. I'm going to go to that brother. I'm going to go to that sister. I'm going to go and visit them. I'm going to talk with them. I'm going to put my arms around them and say, forgive me and I forgive you. I'm going to make it right with my brother. Maybe they made vows.
Yes.
They made a sacrifice, they made an offering, and they made the vows, didn't they? They feared the Lord exceedingly. And then it says in verse 17, now the Lord had prepared a great feast to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the feast 3 days and 3 nights. Well, he's got himself into trouble. He's in the belly of the feast 3 days and 3 nights. Why? You know, them men that threw him over the side, they said, that man, we'll never see him again. He's finished. He's out of the will of God, and he's finished. He has no hope. But then, we read in chapter 2 and verse 1, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the feast's belly. Oh boy. And said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me out of the belly of hell, cried I, and thou hearest my voice. You can't get any lower than that, can you? He was down low. He wasn't on the rooftop. He wasn't on the mountaintop. He wasn't even in the valley. He was down in the bottom of the sea. And he wasn't only in the bottom of the sea, but he was in the fish's belly. He was in the whale's belly. He's eaten. He's swallowed up. And verse 4 says, then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet will I look again toward thy holy temple. Oh, the enemy could have said, Jonah, you have done it now. Jonah, you're finished. You're in hell. You're finished. You made a mistake. You didn't do what you were meant to do. Now look where you are. But Jonah said, yet will I look towards thy holy temple. You know the holy temple of God is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's who the holy temple is.
Amen.
He took on him in the form of a man, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He's the holy temple. And Jonah said, out of the belly of hell cried I unto the Lord. He starts to pray. You know that's the best thing that you can do. Is just pray and believe. Just start to pray. Just start to pray. And don't stop praying. Just keep on praying. Keep on praying. You know how long this prayer meeting lasted for Jonah? It lasted for 3 days and three nights. That's how long it lasted, I believe. It lasted for 3 days and three nights. He never stopped. He said, yet will I look. He said, I'm cast out of thy sight, yet will I look again toward thy holy temple. And you know, he said, look again. He had looked before, but he wants to look again. Oh, brother, sister, look again. Look again, brother. Look again, sister. Says the waters compassed me about, even to the soul, and depths closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottom of the mountains, and the earth with her bars was against me forever. Yet hast thou brought me up, brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. Verse 7 says, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee. Into thy holy temple.
Amen.
He said he remembered the Lord, and his prayer came in unto him. Into thy holy temple. He says, and Brother Ian quotes this verse sometimes. In verse 8 it says, they that observe land vanities forsake their own mercy. And that's what Jonah said. He said he wasn't going to observe the land vanities.
Amen.
But he says, I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving, and I will pay that which I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Again, the men didn't heal the man who was on the couch. The Lord healed him. Salvation is of the Lord.
Amen.
And what happens? And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry ground. You know what else? He hadn't to pay the fare. Not that it mattered. But God got him there. He had no fare to pay. And God spake to the fish. The vomited him out. On dry ground. You know, I maybe shouldn't have took the time to do that. But the Lord bless you. You know, just in the closing moments of the service, let us just ask the Lord. Let us just ask the Lord to come. Let us just seek the Lord for a moment. Maybe your sister Alva, if you'd like to come and play for us this morning. Praise the Lord. You know, never say that prayer's not for you.
Amen.
I believe that prayer's for everyone in this room. It's for you. God wants you to have it. God wants you to be in His presence, and He wants you to have that prayer. Just believe the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise Your holy name, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord.
this, Lord.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, let your expectation rise this morning. This afternoon now, let your expectation rise. Oh, Jesus. Praise your name, Lord. That's hymn 355 in the Redemption. It says, just as I am. No, I'm wrong. I've got the wrong. It's 354, isn't it? 354 in the Redemption. Just as I am. Without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. And that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come.
Right.
Oh, Jeff, I got it. It's got the hymn up here. You know, I know we're saved this morning. I know we're believers. We still need God, but we're depending on Him.
Yeah.
We're looking to Him this morning for help. We're looking for Him to come and manifest His power and His presence among us. Oh Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I want to sing this in an attitude of prayer. I want to sing it in an attitude of worship. The 7 verses of this hymn this morning, I'm going to sing it unto the Lord. I want you to make it your prayer. Praise the Lord. pray a simple prayer. I just want you to believe the Lord. And you just come to Him as you are. You don't have to go up to bring Him down or down to bring Him up. But the word is now even in your heart and in your mouth that if you confess the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
I believe you believe in your heart, you'll be healed also, delivered, and set free. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Let us call upon Him today. Now let us ask the Lord. And Lord, we thank You for Your mercy. We thank You, Lord, for Your word. We believe it's truth, Lord. We believe it's the true word of God. We believe, Lord, You're the same God that was in the house that day. We believe You're the same one that spoke to the fish and had vomited Jonah out on dry land. You're the same one that was in the fire with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And somebody said, you're still in the fire, and you're walking in the flame, and you'll be there to help us when we call upon Your name.
Amen.
Lord, we're calling upon Your name today. We're asking You, Lord, because we can't do it ourselves. And we ask You, Lord, again for Brother Keith. We say, Lord, that You'll visit with him and touch him and raise him up from that bed of sickness, that You'll give him health and strength to the fullness in Jesus' name. And we ask You, Lord, for the gifts of the Holy Spirit to be in operation in the precious name of Jesus. We ask You, Lord, that Your power and presence will come on Your people in this room, Lord. And Lord, no matter what we have done, nor no matter what we haven't done, or no matter what we're going to do, we'll know that You're with us, and that Your hand is upon us, and that You'll bless us real good, Lord, and give us a demonstration and a manifestation of Your power and action among us, in the name of Jesus, that we'll be able to say we have saw strange things today, in Jesus' name. Lord, we'll be careful to give You the honor and give You the glory and give You the praise. And we say, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto Thy name be all the glory and all the honor and all the praise in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Can we sing a verse of that song? To God be the glory, great things He has done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son. Who yielded His life an atonement for sin and opened the life gate that all may go in. Is it hymn? Is it 51 in the 47 in the redemption hymn book? Praise the Lord. And Brother Guy's going to come and lead us. Thank You. Praise the Lord.